Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Like any good Jew, Jesus was steeped in Scripture. Ever since he was a little boy, he had spent his life reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting the words of Scripture. Till it got to the point where even if he hadn't been the incarnate Word of God, even then, all the words of Scripture would have become a part of who he was. So that the world of Jesus, the world that he saw, was the world of Scripture. And the stories of Scripture were the lens through which he saw all the stories of his life. And so I don't think it's a stretch of the imagination then to suppose that when he was hanging on the cross for those long 6 hours, he would have been thinking of the stories of Scripture. Like the stories we've been talking about throughout this sermon series. The stories of Adam, of Noah, of Moses, of Joshua, David, Jonah, even Melchizedek. And surely, too, he was thinking about how all these stories found their fulfillment in him. How he had come so that all these stories might finally be about him. But I also think that all these stories cross his mind, but finally, when the end drew near, can you see it? He shuts his eyes as he hangs on that cross, and he starts to mutter words to himself, words he had heard ever since he was a little boy, words that had become part of who he is. Vayahi akar ha-davarim ha-ela v'ha-elohim nisait Avraham. After these things, God tested Abraham. And now the narrative unfolds before his eyes. He watches Abraham receive this word from God, fight with it, argue with it, doubt it, but finally accept it. He sees Abraham tell Sarah, his wife, that he and the boy must go do something important, a sacrifice they have to offer. He sees Abraham kiss Sarah on the cheek and say goodbye to her. He sees Abraham lead his little boy out the front door. He sees Abraham journey with Isaac and the servants to the mountain. He sees Abraham wave goodbye to the servants as they go up alone. He sees Abraham set his eye on the top of the mountain to where he must go. He sees Abraham praying for strength and courage as he faces this trial. But in all these things, I don't think Jesus sees himself in Abraham. Now, I think when we read this story, we tend to see ourselves as Abraham, the hero of faith. I mean, this is what the book of Hebrews encourages us to do. It encourages us to look at Abraham and his model of faith here and imitate that. Because what Abraham does here, there's something heroic about it, isn't there? Something dramatic, romantic. He gets this command from God, this thing that he must do that no one else will understand, but he knows it must be done. That no one will forgive him for, but still he does this thing. And because of that, he's inspiring and heroic. And maybe in other times, Jesus looked at Abraham's model and he saw himself in Abraham. He saw himself as some great hero of faith. But in this hour, as he hangs on the cross and he feels the nails in his hands, he sees himself in Isaac. Isaac, who carries the wood of the sacrifice on his back as they go up the mountain. Isaac, as he asks his dad where the sacrifice is, what's going on. Isaac, who becomes more and more concerned as he begins to more and more understand what is about to transpire. As Jesus hangs on the cross and the fire fills his lungs, he sees himself in Isaac. Isaac, who is seized by his father. Isaac, who is bound and laid helpless on the altar. Isaac, who looks up and sees his father, who he thought loved him, now whose eyes won't meet his, who holds a knife over his heart. Isaac, who is filled with terror and pain and heartbreak as the knife begins to bear down upon him. And Jesus' eyes fly open. He is jarred from his remembrance because this terror and pain and heartbreak, he feels it too. And I don't think it would have escaped Jesus that this pain and terror and heartbreak is not unique to Isaac or him, but rather the story of Isaac. It's not just the story of Isaac, nor is it just the story of Isaac and Jesus, but the story of Isaac is the story of all of us. Because who here doesn't know that pain and terror and heartbreak? Who here hasn't felt at times what it feels like to be betrayed by God? When your life is full of anxiety because of the uncertainty of your future, or maybe the certainty of it. When loved ones are taken from you unexpectedly, or maybe expectedly. When your health fails, when chronic pain or mental illness never seem to let you get a break. When everything seems to be going wrong, in all these things, we, like Isaac, we look up and we don't see our loving, gentle Father. We don't see our God who is like a shepherd who leads us like little sheep by quiet streams. But rather, in all these things, in these times, we are confronted with the Deus absconditus, the hidden God, the one whose eyes won't meet ours, the one who binds us and lays us upon an altar, the one who holds a knife over our heart. This is the God that Jesus faces on the cross. This is his trial. And it is a trial, isn't it? I mean, sometimes we talk about the testing of Abraham, the trial of Abraham, but what about the trial of Isaac? Because my brothers and sisters, here is a trial. To lay there helpless on the altar, to hang there on the cross, to hold in your hand the phone and hear the news, to lay back and feel the pain roll over you again, and in all these things, somehow to trust that beyond all appearances, in the back of all this, somehow there is still a God who provides. This is the trial that Jesus faces on the cross. And he closes his eyes and watches his lips because these words roll over him again. After these things, God said to Abraham, and again he remembers this story that is a part of who he is. But he also remembers how this story ends. And the ending of this story, he remembers why it is that he came here in the first place. He came here. He lays on that cross to face this trial so that the knife might come upon him, but he might come out the other side. He hangs on this cross so that the story of Isaac, and thus the story of all of us, might be fulfilled and completed and find its center finally in him. Jesus hangs on that cross for Isaac so that the knife that descends upon Isaac might finally stop, so that Isaac might be able to face his trial because he has a God who provides. Jesus hangs on that cross so that even if Abraham were not to hear the word of the angel and were to slay his son, to cut him to pieces, even then Isaac would be preserved. Because Isaac's story, because of this, doesn't end in death, but in life, in resurrection, with God providing. And Jesus hangs on that cross for you. He hangs on that cross so that the knife that descends upon you might also stop. so that you may face the trials of your life because you have a God who provides. Jesus hangs on the cross so that in the midst of your trials, you may go to this story and see that this is the God we have, a God who provides, so that even if the knife is to tear you to pieces, even then you will be preserved because your story ends just like Isaac's, not with death, but with life, with God providing. Jesus hangs on that cross. He closes his eyes for the last time. He cries out. He gives up his spirit. He faces his trial because he has not only that, he faces his trial so that he might be a God who provides. Out of a thorny bush on Moriah, life for Isaac. And out of his own suffering and death on Golgotha, life for the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.